आनुक्रोशं गुणाधमा मैत्रीं समानाद अनिवेचयन् नाथपायर अभिभूयते। Every man should act like this. When he meets a person more qualified than himself, he should be very pleased. When he meets someone less qualified than himself, he should be compassionate toward him. And when he meets someone equal to himself, he should make friendship with him. In this way, one is never affected by the threefold miseries of this material world. Generally, we find in the material concept of life that when we find someone more qualified than ourselves, we become envious of that person. We become envious. We want to somehow discredit that person so that we can attain that type of position. Ultimately, who are we envious of? Whatever qualities are manifested in anyone, they are the qualities of Krishna. Krishna says in Gita that anything that we find of any attractive value is a spark of his splendor. There are three modes of material nature: goodness, passion, and ignorance. And according to these three modes of nature and the influences that are created, people are attracted to different types of qualifications or different attributes. But Krishna is the controller of the three modes of material nature. And whether Krishna's qualities are being purely presented or pervertedly presented, it is all Krishna. The root cause of all material bondage is our envy of Krishna. Therefore, when a devotee finds someone superior to himself, the devotee sees how wonderful my beloved Lord Krishna is revealing himself to me through this person. I want to honor this person. I should be very, very pleased that Lord Krishna is bestowing such a fortune, such an opportunity, by revealing himself to me in this way. In the material world, when someone meets a person who is less qualified than himself, we like to deride that person, criticize that person. But in spiritual consciousness, for those who are less qualified, a devotee sees that this is my beloved brother or sister. Somehow, by the inconceivable will of the Lord has given me something. And why has he given it to me? Not to keep it for myself. Whatever qualifications Krishna has given us is meant only for one purpose: to be an instrument of his mercy, to give it to others, to uplift them. Our Guru Maharaj would say often that my great desire is that all of my disciples become better than me. It's not that he wanted to be guru. It's not that he wanted to be the master better than all. But Krishna is giving me something, and it is meant only for one purpose, to be given to you, so you can be even better. Whatever we have, we must know that Krishna is giving it to us to be an instrument of his kindness upon those who are in need. That is called compassion. And a materialistic person, when he meets someone who is equal to himself, we like to become very proud. We become competitive. We like to speak about what we have done, what we are doing, and most of all, what we will do. In this way, there's no real friendship. But a devotee, when he meets someone equally qualified, he wants to befriend that person. He wants to develop intimate, loving relationship with that person. He wants that person to be a beloved colleague by which we can walk together on the spiritual path. We can serve our guru and we can serve Krishna together, intimately, as a team. We become one. It's no question, you're better, I'm the better. We become one in heart. This is the way God brothers and God sisters should live amongst each other. That Krishna has given everyone special qualities that are very unique and very important. And if we blend them all together, we become one wonderful unit to do great service for Krishna. Therefore, such a devotee sees the good qualities in everyone and sees how everyone has their special position to serve Krishna. It is not a question of better or worse. These instructions that we are reading today, very precious instructions, are being given by Narada Muni to his illustrious disciple, Dhruva Maharaj. How this wonderful pastime evolves is most illuminating to all aspiring devotees. It begins where Maitreya Muni is explaining Vidura, how there was a king of the name Uttanapada. Maharaj Uttanapada was one day sitting on his throne, and on his lap was his son Uttama, who was the child of his most favorite wife, Suruchi. At that time, Dhruva, who was only a child of 5 years old, very affectionately, he climbed upon the throne in order to sit on his father's lap, alongside with his other brother. King Uttanapada had two principal wives, Suruchi and Sunita. And he very much favored Suruchi. And she very much took advantage of the affection that he had for her. It is human nature, in the conditioned state of consciousness, that we like to exploit other people by any means possible. A devotee of the Lord, he tries to win the affection of others so that he can be of better service to that person. Just like Gurudev, Srila Prabhupada, he would often like to give cookies to little children because they did not understand philosophy. But somehow or other they would become affectionate toward him, and then he was able to serve them by giving them Krishna consciousness. As well as adults, he would show such affection to people that people simply liked him. They loved him. And in this way, they just wanted to do whatever he said. But what did he tell them to do? Nothing for his own personal self-interest. But he only told them what was good for their own self-interest. How to become liberated from the miseries of material existence and reestablished in pure Krishna consciousness. But oftentimes we find people under the spell of Maya. When people are affectionate toward them, they use that as a device to exploit them for their own purposes. So Saruchi was in that superior position. And when she saw Dhruva climbing upon the lap of his father on the throne, she became very envious. And she began with very, very harsh and coarse words to chastise the innocent child. That Dhruva, you have no right to ascend that throne. You have no right to sit on your father's lap because you were born of the womb of an inferior woman. If you ever want to be affectionately treated by your father, then you must worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And in your next birth, take birth in my womb. Only then will you have this chance. Dhruva was struck like a snake hit by a stick. And he looked to his father. And his father, due to his over affection for this cruel woman, was unable to speak anything in Dhruva's defense. His heart was broken. His mind was shattered in pieces. He began breathing heavily, tears incessantly flowing from his eyes. He ran to his mother. His mother, Sunita, when she saw Dhruva in that condition, she was greatly aggrieved. Dhruva was so much immersed in that heartbroken condition, just weeping and crying, that he could not even speak. At that time, some of the attendants of the palace told Sunita exactly what had happened. When she heard of how Suruchi misused her child, she also began breathing heavily, tears of anxiety flowing from her eyes. It is explained that her beautiful face dried up like a leaf in a forest fire. And she began to speak. She said, "My dear Dhruva, what your stepmother has said, as painful it is to our hearts to hear, it is true. Your father loves her. He has no affection for me. I am not even a maidservant to him. But she has given you good advice. She has told you to worship the Supreme Personality of God. She said, "My dear Dhruva, anything that you desire can be attained by worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Your great-grandfather, Lord Brahma, by worshiping Lord Sri Krishna, he attained the position of the Father, Creator, and Master of the whole universe. Your grandfather, Swayambhuva Manu, by his performance of charity and sacrifice for the pleasure of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he also attained the high position of the being the predominating personality over all humankind. Dhruva, great saints and sages, they have attained the fulfillment of all of their desires simply by engaging in devotional service, the path of bhakti, for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. Dhruva Maharaj asked, "Where is it that I should go to find the Supreme Personality of Godhead?" She said, "Throughout the ages, great personalities have gone to the forest, and by worshipping him with love and devotion, they have achieved the ultimate treasure of his lotus feet, which contain all benedictions." At that time, Dhruva Maharaj, with fixed determination, he left his home at only 5 years old to enter into the forest to worship Krishna. Such determination. Dhritavrata, a firm vow that come life or death, I don't care, but I must find Krishna. This type of determination is required to properly advance in the spiritual path. Dhruva Maharaj did not fear where he would eat, where he would sleep, who would protect him from the inconveniences and the dangers of the jungle. He only considered one thing, that my mother has told me that my desires will be fulfilled by worshipping Krishna, and I will worship Krishna. By the mercy of Krishna, one gets Guru. And by the mercy of Guru, one gets Krishna. You see, Krishna is in the heart, as the Paramatma, in every living being. He knows our every desire. And most of all, he knows our sincerity. Krishna, when he sees that we are sincere to approach him, he reciprocates. By granting his ultimate benediction, he sends a genuine spiritual master, a guru, to guide us in the process of how we can please him and love him and serve him. So the Paramatma impelled the all-knowing Sri Narada Muni to appear with his transcendental Veena in the forest just at that time. Sometimes we think that I will find a guru. But you cannot find a guru. You have no power. But you have to try. And there are all different classifications of gurus, according to our desire and our sincerity. And if we try for spiritual life sincerely, then Krishna will undoubtedly send us to that person who will teach us the way of purifying our heart and achieving the ultimate goal of life. For a sincere devotee, there is nothing within this entire world that can be an impediment for such a person's spiritual advancement. Krishna is within our heart. He will never forsake us. He will never cheat us. Step by step, through the mercy of his representatives, he will guide us forward on the path back home, back to Godhead. So Narada Muni appeared before Dhruva. And he said, "My dear child, you are only 5 years old. This is the age when you should be playing with your friends. So many nice games there are. You know, you may have been insulted by your father and your stepmother, but so what? After all, according to our karma, we have a destiny to suffer so much and to enjoy so much. So we should not take these dualities very seriously at all. It is all your unavoidable destiny. You should just go home and be like all other children. It's not such a terrible thing that happened. This is a very dangerous place, Dhruva, to be in the forest. You are not fit to be here." Dhruva responded that what you are saying is correct. Everything you speak is the truth. But I am a Kshatriya. I might be a little Kshatriya, but I'm a Kshatriya. And I cannot tolerate such humiliation. I have come to this forest to worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead because I want the benediction of a kingdom greater than my father or my grandfather. A kingdom greater than anyone has ever had on this earth or in the heavens. And I cannot follow that instruction of yours. I must surrender my life to the Lord. Narada Muni was very pleased. In fact, he spoke those words only to test Dhruva. It is a duty of a spiritual master to test his disciple before imparting intimate knowledge to the disciple, or before initiating the disciple. He must know that this person is genuinely serious about spiritual life and is not going to be influenced to leave the path because of any material situation. Dhruva Maharaj so wonderfully passed the test. Pleased by his determination and sincerity, Narada Muni began to instruct him. He said, "You should go to a sacred forest called Madhuban. It is in the Brajmandal area, Vrindavan. And there you will find the beautiful, transparent, clear river Jamuna flowing. You should take 3 baths every day in the sacred river Jamuna. You should sit in meditation. You should control your breath for the purpose of controlling your mind. And you should fix your mind on the beautiful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead." And he began to explain how to envision the Supreme Lord. How he is appearing with beautiful, beautiful dark blue complexion, lotus-like eyes, golden helmets, kustubamani, beautiful, beautiful garlands, beautiful golden bells around his waist, giving a vivid description of the opulent form of Lord Narayan. And he said, "While you are meditating on this form, you must chant this secret confidential mantra that I'm about to give you. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
And then he told him, you should also make out of the clay of the ground a beautiful murti of Lord Narayan. And you should worship him. Offer him flowers. Offer him obeisances. Offer him fruits. Engage in his loving service. In this way, following in the footsteps of the previous great souls, completely give up all activities for your own sense gratification and immerse your mind, your body, and your senses in the loving service of the Lord, always remembering him and chanting his holy names. These instructions are so important. This took place in the Satyayuga, at a time when the recommended process of self-realization was Ashtanga Yoga, meditation. But not just meditation on anything, but meditation on the beautiful form of the Lord. In this age of Kali Yuga, it is explained that this type of meditation is not practical. And it is practically impossible. Therefore, the Supreme Lord and his devotees have recommended the most sublime and effective form of all meditation, which is to simply fix one's consciousness on the beautiful sound of his name. The essence of what Narada Muni has spoken was to chant the name of God, but with other processes alongside of it for the purpose of obliging to the Satyayuga's recommended forms of worship. But in the age of Kali Yuga, simply concentrating on the beautiful sound vibration of Krishna's name is absolutely sufficient if it is done sincerely to attract the causeless mercy of the Lord. Narada Muni said that this mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, is very secret and confidential. But we may ask, how is it secret and confidential? It's written in the Srimad Bhagavatam. It's known by so many people. It is confidential because of this. Because the potency of any bona fide mantra comes only when we receive it from a genuine spiritual master. Unless we hear the mantra from a surrendered devotee of the Lord, the mantra has practically no spiritual potency. So with Narada's blessings, Dhruva traveled to the holy forest of Madhuban on the bank of the river Jamuna. And there he began by taking his three baths a day, by worshipping the murti that he would make of the Lord, and by always chanting the mantra, Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. But he was so determined. For the first month that he was in the forest, he just ate some fruits and berries one time every 3 days. And it is described in the Bhagavatam, the type of fruit of berry that he ate was the type of food that is eaten by monkeys. It's generally considered unpalatable for human consumption. And in this way, he utilized all of his time and energy in worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The second month, he would only eat those leaves that were dried up and fallen from trees and dried grass once every 6 days. As he was immersed constantly in remembering and worshiping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The third month, he would only take a little bit of water every 9 days as he was dedicating all of his energies more and more in chanting the holy name of the Lord and worshiping him. The fourth month, he would take one breath every 12 days as he was gradually getting more and more and more control of his mind and senses. And he was totally immersed in fixing the beautiful form of the Lord in his heart by chanting his holy name. By the fifth month, he had such complete control over his body, mind, and senses that he totally restrained his breath. And he stood on one leg, on one toe, completely motionless like a stone column. And because his mind had so much captured the Supreme Lord Vishnu by his sincere devotion, the Lord appeared within his heart. And because the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mahato Mahiyan Anato Aniyan, he is greater than the greatest and smaller than the smallest, that Dhruva Maharaj, because he had captured the Lord within his heart to such an extent that he became heavy like Vishnu. And because of this, his single toe of this small 5-year-old child had such weight that it began to crush the earth. And because he would not breathe, the Lord who was in his heart, who is the source of all breath, he is the ultimate source of prana, which sustains everyone throughout all of creation. By the Lord being restrained within his heart, he was able to withdraw the air from the entire universe. And even the demigods in the higher planets, they began to suffocate. They couldn't breathe. This is the power of a Lord's devotee. And the demigods, the devatas, they approached the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Narayan. We can't breathe. We don't know what's happening. Why is this? The whole creation. There's no more air or breath. And the Lord smiled and he said, yes, yes, this is all because of my little 5-year-old devotee, Dhruva. He is performing tapasya. He said, I will make everything all right. At that time, the Supreme Personality of Godhead descended. Dhruva Maharaj was sitting motionlessly, fixed in the beautiful darshan of the Lord within his heart. With his eyes closed. At that time, by the independent free will of the Lord, he disappeared from within his heart. And Dhruva Maharaj, being perplexed, he opened his eyes and he saw, standing before him, the identical form of his meditation. And Dhruva fell in prostrated obeisances, surrendering his life at the lotus feet of the Supreme Lord. And he wanted to offer beautiful prayers to glorify Sri Narayan. But he was an uneducated child, only 5 years old. He didn't have much schooling. He didn't have much knowledge of the scripture. So what could he say? But so much he wanted to speak. The Lord took his blessed conch shell and placed it on Dhruva's head. And all the knowledge of the Vedas was imparted to him so that he could glorify the Lord to his heart's content in the most pure, erudite Sanskrit poetry. A devotee should know that whatever power to speak that we have is not our own. It is only by the blessings of Krishna, which is coming through his most beloved devotees. Krishna, he is the supreme controller of all controllers. He can give and he can take. We must know this. Therefore, we should never be proud. Pride can only come when we forget Krishna. When we remember Krishna in the proper state of mind, then how can we not be humble? Because what is ours? By Krishna's blessing, he may allow us to speak beautifully to glorify him. But if we become proud, or if we are disrespectful to other Vaishnavas, then Krishna can just as easily take away that power. He can make us deaf and dumb. He can make it so the same words that we speak have no potency to affect anyone's heart. Because he is the potency. That gift is not meant for our, what would you say, for our adoration. That gift is only meant for Krishna's glorification. And the greatest service we can render is to glorify Krishna in such a way to influence other people's hearts to want to become his devotee, to serve him, and to chant his holy name. Krishna says in Gita that I am the intelligence of the intelligent. I am the strength of the strong. I am the ability in man. It is all Krishna. To just be an instrument and let Krishna's love flow through us for his glory and for the betterment of the service of other living beings, that is the goal of this human form of life. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Ashlisya va padarapan panashtumam darshana maramahatam karotu va. My Lord, I am yours. You can do anything you want with me. If you want, you can embrace me. If you want, you can trample upon me, or you can even make me broken-hearted by not being present before you. You can deal with me in any way you please, because I am your servant unconditionally. when our own spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, was going to America. Imagine the predicament that he was in from a material point of view. He was 70 years old. He had just days before suffered two heart attacks, seasickness, dizziness, nausea. He didn't have any money. He was coming to a strange foreign land that he knew nothing, absolutely nothing about. And he didn't even speak a type of English that people of the West could properly understand. He spoke in a very heavy Bengali accent. And he told us later that he was wondering whether anybody could even understand a word he said when he arrived. And yet his mission was to spread the glories of devotion to Krishna to a place where nobody had ever even heard of Krishna. To teach pure life in a place where everybody is addicted to illicit sex, intoxication, gambling, and meat eating. This is all he knew about the place. Can you imagine how humble and helpless he must have been when he was just approaching the Boston Harbor on that boat, the Jaladuta? At that time he wrote a poem, and in the poem he was offering his life to Krishna, surrendering everything. That I don't know why you've sent me here, my Lord. I have no qualification, but you have sent me here. If you so desire, my Lord, you can make my words understandable and appreciable by these people. It is only by your grace. Prabhupada was like Dhruva Maharaj, just asking Krishna to place his conch shell on his head and give him the power to speak to these people. And he said, my Lord, I am a puppet in your hands. If you so desire for me to dance for you, then make me dance, make me dance, make me dance, my Lord. This is the consciousness of the great souls. At that time, Dhruva Maharaj, being empowered by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, so humble, he began to offer beautiful prayers in glorification of Krishna. He didn't ask anything from the Lord. But Sri Narayan, he said, Dhruva, you have come to this forest to receive benedictions. I know that you want a kingdom greater than even your grandfather and your great-grandfather, Lord Brahma. Is this what you want? Dhruva Maharaj said, no, I do not want this. I am satisfied simply in receiving your mercy. In receiving your blessed darshan, there is nothing else to be achieved in my life. He said that I came to this forest looking for broken pieces of glass, but I have achieved the precious diamond of your blessed mercy. Dhruva Maharaj approached the Supreme Lord with material desire. And Narada Muni knew that. Narada Muni told Dhruva that anything you want, you can get from Krishna. Do you want economic development? Do you want religiosity? Do you want sense gratification or liberation? Don't bother worshipping demigods. Krishna is the source of all of it. Just if you worship the demigods, then you will get the fulfillment of your material desire after some time. But if you properly worship Krishna, just by remembering Krishna, even though you may be aspiring for all material blessings, you will become purified, and even purified for the desires for those material benedictions. Om apavitra pavitro va sarvavastam gatopi sya yasmaret pundarikaksham sabhya sabhayabhyantara suci akama sarvakamo va moksha kama udarede tivrena bhakti yogena yacheta purusham param. Whether you have all material desires, whether you have no material desires, or whether you desire mukti or liberation, if you just worship Krishna and remember Krishna, you will become purified of all desires. So Dhruva Maharaj, simply by following the instructions of Sri Narada Muni, he became so pure, such a devotee, that he only wanted the loving service of the Lord. Dhruva prayed, "The only benediction I want, my Lord, is to always remember you, to always be your loving servant." The Supreme Lord told Dhruva, "Yes, you will always be immersed in my loving service." But Dhruva Maharaja's father, Uttanapada, he was at home brokenhearted. After Dhruva left for the forest and he realized, "My son has gone to the jungle," he became so embarrassed and guilty because of my material attachment to this Saruchi. Look what I have done. I have caused such grief and heartbreak to my own son, who I love more than my own life. And what will he do in the forest? Uttanapada, not knowing where to find him or what to do, was immersed in an ocean of grief. Narada Muni came to him and said, "My dear king, do not worry. I have just been with your son. He is being protected by Lord Vishnu. If Krishna wants to protect a devotee, nothing can destroy him. And if Krishna wants to destroy, nothing can protect." He said, "My dear king, your son will be the greatest of all devotees. He will attain a platform of purity and devotion that even the greatest saints and sages cannot dream of after millions of births of worshiping the Lord. And he will return to you, but when he will return, he will be the most exalted of all personalities. And he will make you proud." This story is so wonderful, because we see how oftentimes the Lord uses a terrible disaster, a catastrophe, as a stepping stone for the highest benedictions of spiritual progress. Dhruva Maharaj was insulted in such a way that it was worse than death for him. He was utterly heartbroken. He was crushed. He saw no reason even to live anymore. But if Saruchi was not used as an instrument of the Lord to be so envious and terribly blasphemous of Dhruva, Dhruva would have never attained God realization. How many people suffered? Sunita, his mother, suffered worse to see her beloved child in such aggrievement. She didn't know what to say. She didn't know what to do. She knew her child. Only Krishna could save him. Uttanapada was brokenhearted by what he had done. In this way, there was a apparently disastrous crisis in everyone's life. Everything was topsy-turvy in turmoil. But this was Krishna's plan. He uses these situations to bring devotees to his lotus feet. In this material world, we cannot judge a book by looking at its cover. You have all heard this statement. We must judge a book by the content inside. That means we have to take the time to open the cover and examine the text. In the life of a devotee, everything that appears is being very personally and specifically and mercifully conducted by Krishna directly. Whatever good or whatever bad comes into our life, behind the illusion, behind the appearance, is Krishna perfectly calling us back to his loving service. Because Dhruva Maharaj, in this situation of a terribly heartbreaking crisis in life, followed the instructions of his mother by being a faithful, loving service to the Lord and worshiping him, that crisis became the most wonderful, wonderful, wonderful cause of the highest realization of God. So a devotee, under any circumstance, however inconceivable it may appear to our vision and to our mind, must follow in the footsteps of Dhruva Maharaj and remain determined, fixed in worshiping the Lord, chanting his name, and following the instructions of great Vaishnavas. And then no harm can possibly touch such a devotee. We also find in this beautiful story how the Lord even after Dhruva Maharaj attained such a perfection of total detachment from material life, he sent Dhruva Maharaj back to his kingdom to become king. Dhruva Maharaj had no material desires. He was a liberated soul. But what is the highest form of liberation? Not to be inactive. Liberation means to be freed from all of the implications, complications, and miseries of material world, which are due to the karmic reactions. But the path of bhakti is activities in that liberated state. Mukti means negation of all suffering. Bhakti means what are the positive spiritual activities that are meant to be performed in the liberated state. The Lord did not tell Dhruva, stay here in the forest and just think of me. He told him, you always think of me, but you serve me by performing your duty. You are a kshatriya. and you are supposed to take the throne after your father, you go back and you take it. And you get married. And you produce children so that they can be trained to serve me in the same way. And Dhruva Maharaj returned to his father. And as he was approaching that city, his father was so happy. He was so grateful that his son was coming back a saint, that he spent enormous sums of energy to create a magnificent welcoming ceremony for Dhruva. All royal paraphernalia, beautiful palanquins, the whole kingdom was dressed in beautiful, elegant clothing, beautiful bands playing, Brahmins chanting mantras. The roads were scented with sandalwood and other perfume fragrances. Garlands and flowers and jewels were bedecking the whole kingdom just to welcome Dhruva back. And when he came to the outskirts of the city, Maharaj Uttanapada, how pleased he was to receive his son and bring him in the palace and offer him the throne and everything. Everything his father owned, he offered to Dhruva. Srila Rupa Goswami explains that if you surrender to Krishna, do not think that you will be the loser, but you will gain hundreds and millions of times greater. But sometimes first Krishna takes everything away just to increase the quality of your love and your surrender. But when that quality is achieved, Krishna will give you everything and anything you require for your service. Again, our Gurudev, he used to tell us his own story. Especially when he was here in Bombay, he would like to tell this story. Because people are very materialistic here. Prabhupada would tell all of your brothers and sisters here, he would say, when I went to America, I had nothing. I had 30 rupees, which cannot even be exchanged in America. Outside of India, nobody wants rupees. He said, I knew no one. I was penniless. I went to that country as a beggar. He said, but I surrendered to Krishna. I was just trying to do the seva for my Guru Maharaj. He said, now we have over 108 temples all over the world. Beautiful marble palace in Juhu. The largest building, the longest building in all of Bengal and Mayapur. The most popular temple in Vrindavan. Beautiful, beautiful stone churches that have been that are being used in the West, wonderful castles in Europe. He said, nothing's mine, but I just surrender to Krishna. And he has given. I didn't ask for it. I just wanted some seva. Why should we have any lack of faith that if we just do Krishna's will, we will lose nothing? We will gain everything. Dhruva Maharaj was welcomed back. He left in total heartbroken situation, feeling himself completely rejected by his own father and loved ones. He left not knowing where he was going, whether he was going to be eaten by tigers. He left with nothing but the clothes he was wearing to live in the jungle. And he returned as the king of the world. Rio. And he ruled that kingdom. When he grew to the proper age, his father turned everything over to him. His father himself, so grateful to the Lord for what he had done to his child, surrendered his own life to Lord Krishna. And Dhruva Maharaj became the ruler of this planet for so many years. And he was a perfect ruler. He administrated justice. He was willing to declare war on anybody or any race of people who betrayed the laws of God. In this way, he created such love and trust amongst his citizens that this world was none different than the kingdom of God as long as he reigned. Because he understood that he was nothing more than the insignificant menial servant of Krishna. And he saw himself the menial servant of each and every one of his citizens. And he protected them as a servant. No one is master except Krishna. Everyone else a servant. This is the eternal law of truth. And the more menial we come down to serve, the higher Krishna puts us in his own heart. And the more he empowers us to do his will. When it was time for Dhruva Maharaj to leave this world, the Supreme Personality of Godhead sent beautiful, beautiful flower airplane with the messengers of Vishnu who had come to bring him back to the spiritual world. Dhruva Maharaj, he said to them, that I've only become a devotee of the Lord because of my mother. I cannot leave. I cannot go back to Godhead unless she also comes. This is the natural condition of a devotee's heart. So grateful. Anyone who has ever helped us in our spiritual life, we should be so grateful to that person. And nothing can ever change that. Dhruva Maharaj refused to go back to the spiritual world until and unless his mother, who first taught him about Krishna consciousness, could go also. At that time, the Vishnu Dutas pointed to the sky, and Dhruva looked up and he saw, the Lord knows everyone's desires. That she was already on a Vaikuntha ship on her way back to Godhead before him. The Lord awarded Dhruva his own planet called Dhruva Loka in this universe. And that Dhruva Loka is a spiritual Vaikuntha planet in this material existence. This beautiful story teaches us how, with great determination and great faith, we must execute the process of devotional service. And I'd like to say one more thing, that the prominent attribute of Dhruva was his determination. We heard about what type of austerities he performed in that forest. If any one of us tries to imitate Dhruva, we will die. Impossible. But we can follow in his footsteps. And we must be determined. We must be strict to follow in his footsteps. We may not be able to take one breath every 12 days. We can't even drink a little water every 9 days. We cannot even, in his preliminary conditions of austerity, eat dry grass every 6 days. We can't even do what he did in his most neophyte condition of eating berries meant for monkeys every 3 days, with our mind completely fixed in Krishna chanting his name. But the great acharyas know what we can do. Narada Muni knew what Dhruva could do, so he told him, you do this. Our Guru Maharajas have told us what we must do, which is equal to the austerity of Dhruva, if we just follow his instruction. What does he say? You follow these four regulative principles, strictly. No illicit sex, no intoxication, no meat-eating, gambling. And he said, you chant 16 rounds of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra strictly every day. Are we chanting 16 rounds every day? For initiated devotees. For those who are not initiated, we should start with one round or two rounds or three rounds, something. But we should keep a regulation, and we should, with great determination and fixed vow, we must do it. No matter what. Let death come, but I will finish my vow of chanting the holy name. For initiated disciples, 2 hours or 16 rounds. How much we must take this seriously. Srila Prabhupada said, if you take this vow seriously, with great determination, and chant those rounds attentively every day, that determination will attract the mercy of the Lord just as Dhruva's tapasya attracted the Lord. In the Kali Yuga, to associate with devotees and follow the process of chanting the holy name as recommended by the acharyas is equal to the tapasya of Dhruva Maharaj. This is the greatest benediction of this story. With great faith in Krishna, taking any crisis or reversal in our life as an opportunity for further spiritual advancement, we must firmly commit ourselves to chanting the holy name of Krishna and serving his devotees, and not let anything or anyone come between our loving devotion to the Lord. And have complete faith that if we do this, not only will we enter into the highest realms of Krishna consciousness, but all those who are near and dear to us, they will also receive the same benefits. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram.
Hare Ivo, Hare Ivo, Hare Ivo.
Let us chant Hare Krishna.